cars jump into your throat.
And that's the end of your trick at the wheel. The old man sends a fella up. You goes below. And he says, why don't you stay up there just in case he needs a hand? So there he is in the oil skins, been soaking wet for 2 hours. And you sets yourself down, back behind the wheel by the rail like this, see? You pull that there sou'wester down like this. You fold your arms. And in 10 seconds, you sound asleep. And that's the truth. I done that. And he's rocking and he's rolling, but you don't care. You don't care. And an hour goes by, and there's a holler and a tug. And he jumps up, what can I do? What can I do? Well, everything's out of control. Back she sinks again, and in 10 seconds, you sound asleep again. He hears about these things, but it's the truth. And then that watch is over, and you go below, and the old man says, stay in your oil skins, boy. So he goes in your bunk, and your lady's in there, and you're soaking wet. And your bunk's soaking wet, your donkey's breakfast, everything's wet through. And in 10 seconds, he's sound asleep. That's being a sailor. See, I ain't being no yachtsman. That's being a real deep water sailor. So I've done that, see? And I learned all that with old Billy Barrett on the Weymouth. But I find old Captain Barrett, he's saying, you want to be a real sailor, boy. He said, you want to be a real boat hand. You want to be a Gloucester fisherman. Wants to head down east and signs on. Grand Banks. Long line trolling. Off I goes. I was just a boy, see? Wanderlust. That's what had me, the wanderlust. So I goes down east and I signs on the B.D. Haskins. And I goes long line trolling on the Grand Banks. Fishing, you understand? I gets out there. Worst part of that trip, of course, he's talking Grand Banks. This here is back in the fall again after a year. And we's talking Grand Banks fog. Dungeon thick. Thick of fog. Can't see as long as this room, you understand? He's up on the bow. And you hear other vessels out there in the fog. And you peer in your eyes, it's just a gray veil. And you're popping your eyeballs out of your head, trying to pierce through it. Pierce through it. Can't see nothing, no matter how hard you try. But you hear them vessels, you know these out there somewhere. Thick of fog. And then your body gets tired of it. You know they can't see it from back half, so kind of hunkers down there below the rail. Can't see nothing anyway, but your running light's going to cast that aura up before it. You can't see through that. He hunkers down like that, and he just stays there out of the wind and the rain and the mist. Then every 5 minutes, so he pops your head up just to take a look around. And then you hear, boom. A minute goes by. Boom. Your heart stops. Sure enough, it's a White Star liner, or a Cunard. Steamship coming over from Liverpool, running up for New York, right through the fleet, as usual, into a dungeon thick of fog. And he's coming through 15 knots. The old man sees that fog bank. He hollers down the engine room. Cut her back a turn, boys. Fog bank ahead, and that's what they does. So they comes through at only 14 knots. Gotta get that blue ribbon speed record, understand? And they comes through with the horn going boom, getting loud. And then your eyes is popping out. And it's over here one time, it's over there another time. It's jumping around in the fog, can't tell where the sound's coming from. See? Boom, feel your whole vessel shaking. And then you see this massive gray sliding by just in the blink of an eye. Near cut you down. If they'd have hit you, they'd have drove you down. A 40-foot bow, iron or steel, would have drove you right under. They wouldn't even know it, maybe. Maybe they'd have stopped and blowed their horn, rung their bell, hoping for survivors. Lord only knows how many fishermen's laying on the bottom of them banks, driven down by a steamboat. That's the truth. So I done that, and I'm out there with them fellers, and the situation there is Michael Axe as well. Oh, man, he don't leap back in his cabin. He comes forward. He's with the rest of the boys. The idea, his idea is he's got two jobs. Get the boys out and back in one piece. And think like a codfish. That's true. He's got to find them cod. If he can't find them cod, ain't nobody going to make no money. He can't think like a cod. He hears about it right quick. A couple days of bad fishing and the boys at the supper table, he's giving them a hard time. You don't ever give Josiah Gardner a hard time, I tell you. I knock you down. But with you on a fishing boat, that's the way it is.
So I done that. And then always, everybody's saying, listen, boy, he says, you want to be a real fisherman, you won't do this. This year's college boy fishing. You've been out here 2 months, though, half the crew have been college boys out on the banks, easy living. He says, you won't be a real fisherman. He wants to go to George's Banks in the wintertime. Halibut on George's. That's where the real man goes. So I done it. I've been to George's Bank, wintertime halibut. Signed on a Rattler, Captain A.F. York. And we went to George's, where you find seas shaped just like this room. You don't get them rolling up, rolling down. They square and they solid. They pitch you up and they drop you straight down. You stand on deck one moment, and the next moment it's 10 foot underneath it. And you're dropping to meet it. And it's rising again. See, that's George's Bank. It's a big underwater mountain range, is what it is. It's just like it stands on the side of a mountain. You get that wind blowing up at it. That's the way it is on George's, but it ain't wind. It's in tidal rips and currents. Come streaming up and whipping around the mountaintop. Drag you down. You get a breeze and wind blowing, nor'easter blowing 50 knots. Of course, most vessels, you get them on an anchor road, an anchor cable, and they'll ride on that cable just like a liver vein, see? Easy ride. You get on George's back and a tidal rip. 50 knot breeze and wind, and that tide will swing you right sideways to it. And then seas are crashing down on you, understand? That's the way it is on George's back. And I've done that. Halibut fishing. Summertime, he goes fishing in the morning. He dresses your fish at noontime, and he rests all afternoon long. He's on George's in the wintertime. He just goes fishing any time, day or night. Midnight. The old man thinks there's a break in the weather. You set your gear. And your hauls are back at 4 a.m. And if the weather breaks again at 10 in the morning, he goes out again. And that's the truth. Worst occasion we have. He's out there, nor'easter blowing. Every man's below, back in the after cabin. It's blowing so hard. You don't even stay in the forecastle. One man on deck, much like I was off of Cape May. He's just tending the wheel. He's riding on your anchor. Your wheel's lashed over. Well, in a case like this, you got to unlash your wheel and you got to move her a bit. But in any case, you got your lifeline on. Everybody else is below. Two things he's doing. He's handling that wheel and he's looking off the window. Somebody else breaks their cable or drags their anchor and comes sliding down through the fleet. If they hit, every man jack on board's a dead man. They'll grind each other to pulp. And he's all going to be lost. So he watches off the windward there. And if he sees somebody coming, he runs forward, grabs an axe, and cuts the cable. No chain cables on them Gloucester fishermen. They's all hemp and rope. So you can cut your cable, and then you guys are sliding uncontrolled, out of control down through the fleet, praying. So that one fellow's on deck. George Miller is his name. Now I was the next man on watch. And I was putting on my oilskins. I was getting all ready. See, and the old man pokes his head up on deck, and it's blowing like stink. The old man takes a look off the northeast, and we slid over, as I say. So then seas is boarding like this, right about the main chain. See? He says, oh, George, the boy's coming up soon. He says, but watch out there off the winter, because you got some dirty seas coming. The old man. George says, yes, sir. He says, I'll watch out. But seems much like the trouble I got myself in, the old log line come adrift. So old George took off his lifeline. So he's calling down that line. Well, the old man turns around and starts to bring the scuttle back. Next thing you know, the old rattler falls off the loop like that. He gets thrown against the lee bulkhead, up against the wall. And that there scuttle slams shut, would have took the old man's head right off. Water comes squirting down through. We know what it was, sure enough. A boarding sea, 10 foot of green water crushing across the deck, see? Well, the old man and I, the old man throws the skull back, and water comes a pouring down. We goes fighting our way up. There's the ship's wheel spinning like it's. All the gear back aft been washed overboard. Where's George Miller? 75 foot abaft us in this raging sea. I grabs the main sheet, cuts the line on her, I throws her overboard. Big heavy line like this, see? Gotta be 60 foot long. It starts winding its way back to him. See, he's struggling in the sea. Problem is, you got them seas rising and a falling. So he rises on a crest. And as you're rising, you see old George. Then he falls in the trough and you lose sight of him. And then he rises again. Old George, he's settling down in the trough. And he passes each other. He's 75 foot back there, still fighting. There, that line snaking back, snaking back. You rise to the crest, you lose him in the trough. You start to drop, he starts to rise. That line snaking and snaking. He's in the trough, you lose sight again. What's he doing? What's he doing? He rises again, he looks. Thank you. know George Miller. Where is he? Squint your eyes, you don't see nothing. He's gone. Him and 1,000 other fishermen, with their bones on the sandy banks of Georgia's. That's the truth. George Miller was his name. We come in with a flag at half mast. That trip. I lost some friends out there, folks. Gotta watch your step. Old Captain Barrett told me, when I signed on with him, he says, boy, says, keep away from the edge of the boat. Sounds pretty liberally, don't it? But it meant what he said. Because that edge there is exactly that. You goes over and you ain't never coming back. So that's some advice I always keep to heart. Keep away from the edge of the boat. Well, he comes back in. I'm George's bank fisherman. I've been there. I seen the elephant. Well, I figures it's time for me to go deep water sail. That's a different situation altogether. I signs on, goes up to New York to sign on, walk along South Street, just peering at them vessels eyeing up. See, now I ain't been on things too big now. The old Weymouth, she couldn't have been no more than 65 foot, and them fishermen ain't much more. So I finds myself a small one, square rigged ship, understand? Her name's the Lord Nelson. Tiny little thing, because she's an old packet ship from the old days, back before the war. So I signs on, and we hauls out into the stream waiting for the rest of the crew. The rest of the crew comes on board. I couldn't believe my eyes. There's all the crew of old packet rats. Hard to believe, ain't it? Old Irish boys, you understand? Come out of Ireland during the bad times looking for work. So they comes up to Liverpool and signs on. And he runs out their packet across to New York. And then he gets paid off. Of course, stays far from home, so he goes on a spree. Spends all the money on dancing girls and liquor. And then he's broke, so he signs on another packet, takes her on back to Liverpool. Now he's back close to home, they gets paid off. What they going to do? He goes on a spree. Spends all their money again. They don't just spend the money, they goes into debt. They got to sell their sea boots and the royal skins and the woolen stockings to get out of debt. And then he signs on and he comes back across. And nothing but the clothes they stand up in. Wintertime, North Atlantic. And nothing but the clothes they stand up in. That's what these fellas done all their lives. Packet rats. Hard cases is what I was talking. Hard men. Finest deep water sailors in the world. And that's what I got for my crew. Well, it took 2 days for them to get sober. But once they done it, they took them under their wings. See, I was willing to pull my weight. I was willing to learn. So they took me in. And they teached me. Teached me how to hand, reef, and steer. And I can do fancy work. Sailorizing. This here bag. I made this bag back in them times. See, this big bag is years old now. All beat up. I stitched this all up myself. They see the line here, all down the ice twice. Fancy not work up in here. I've done all this, see? Handy. Sail rack. Fancy not work, that's my sail mule case here. See all that fancy not work? I've done that. They teach me that, see? That's handy. I can reef. I can go up 100 foot in a living gale, up into the rigging and furlough, to gallon her oil by myself. Pound the wind out of her. Pound the life out of her. Furl her down. I can reef. I can steer. Get me in that same living gale, braced up sharp on the wind. If I come 1 degree too tight to the wind, I'll tear everything right down out of her. But I can steer straight as could be. Save them men up in the rigging. I shake that rigging one time, he's going to get it shook right out of it, see? Down to David Jones. I can steer. Worst yet, I can steer in a flat, dead calm. When there ain't no steerage wind, she's just rolling in the doldrums. Put me on the wheel, and I'll steer her straight as an arrow. Most fellers are making snake trails back abaft to the ship as they go washing back and forth. See, I can hand reef and steer. They're the ones that teach the tune and pack rats. Well, I come off of there feeling pretty good. Ordinary seaman, deep water sailor, I've done it all, it seems. Looks for another vessel along the Mersey River. And I finds one, Prince Albert Dock, where she's tied up. Her name was a Lord of Isle. What caught my eye was her bow, iron hull, you understand? Coming up out of water, going for it, I guess, seemed to go on forever. I tell you honest, it's a nice looking bow I seen on any vessel in the world. Beautiful ship. That caught my eye. See, then I seen her name, Lord Eye. Well, Lord Nelson done good by me. The Lord's standing by me. So I signed on Lord Eye. We hauls out from the dock. Finds myself in a different situation. Captain James T. Craig in command. Fine seaman, fine navigator. Ain't no officer. Can't keep no discipline, it's a problem. Found that out right quick. One of the first jobs you got, if you're hauling out from a dock, you get yourself a hawser out the tug or maybe out the buoy out in the middle of the river, maybe you got your anchor down, gotta haul your anchor. In any case, you bring your hawser in, wrap around your capstan. Put your capstan bar in, and of course you walk around. Hauling up there at hawser, see? When you runs that there hawser around, it's got some slack in it. So when you put your bars in, the first thing you do is you run out your slack. Put them in and you run. If you take the slack out, then you got to slow up, see? Command's easy enough. That's the one I use. My first command to these lone kids. Run out your slack, I hollers. They put them bars in and they runs it out until they got to slow down. And then he settles in and he walks that hawser in. Well, there he is on the Lord of the House. Put them bars in. Run out your slack, hollers at me. I pushes. My bar don't move. See, if I'm pushing, nobody else is pushing. I ain't going to go nowhere. They's all holding back. Trouble, says I. Run out your slack, he hollers again. I pushes. Don't go nowhere again. He tries that on the old St. Nicholas. I'll knock somebody down that moment. Kick him at times too if need be. When I hollers, run out your slack, he runs. Didn't happen on the Lord Ives. By the time he was off the rock light, everybody knew that Nate wasn't working nothing. By the time he's down off the line, crossing the equator, fellas is coming 5 minutes, 10 minutes out late to the watch. On the old St. Nicholas, he comes out 5 minutes early. When it's 8 bells, you's not only on deck, but you're standing at your next duty. Because on the strike of the 8th bell, you takes over that wheel. Door by east, aye aye. On the stroke 8, you's out there. See, 5 minutes early, you's on deck, ready for your job. On old Lord House, fellas is coming out 10 minutes late. They don't comes out on a double, they comes out smoking their pipes. And he strolls out. By the time he's down around the roaring 40s, heading toward Cape Horn, fellas ain't coming out at all. They spending their watch on deck below, smoking, gambling, drinking. Another thing, you signs on the old St. Nicholas. I lines up in the waist of the ship. I goes to every man jack. I says, give me your knife. Reaches to the middle of your back. He pulls your knife out of your sheath. He hands it over. And I looks at her. If she's got a point on her, I hands her the chips. Ship's carpenter. He takes it over, puts it in his vise, and snaps that point right off. You ain't going to stab nobody then, is you? Might cut somebody, ain't gonna kill nobody. Well, of course, that never happened on the Lord Isles. I've seen some dirty fights on board. Actually, I was scared, you understand? One feller tried to stand up to me, old second mate. String beam called. Must have been 6'4", must have weighed 120 pounds. He's the only one tried to stood up to him. To ease down off Cape Horn, though, first mate comes to his watch on deck. Snow all over the deck and winds along. Here's second mate, old string, be laying in the scuppers covered with snow. He stood up to him, they knocked him down, left him unconscious. Covered with snow he was after several hours. Well, I figured he's for it now. Here's mutiny. First mate picks him up, drags him back, takes him down. We didn't see him the rest of the passage. I figured time for gunplay now. Them revolvers is coming out. Not a word was said. Not a word was said. By the time we got into Williamstown, South Australia, them fellers was wild men. Nowadays, it's tough times, you understand? Ain't like before the war. You hear about hell ships. There ain't no worse hell ship in the world. The one ain't got no commander. Ain't got no discipline. I was scared. And that's truth. We comes into Williamstown, and crews come out with all their liquor and their good talk. Half them fellers is drunk and overboard into them boats and heading for shore before we get our hook down. The other half can't get off because they're so drunk they can't move. Well, I still doing my duty. 2 days later, he's draping cargo out of the hole. Eyes down there. I looks up, there's a big cask looking at me, see? Across the head of that cask, it says beer. Well, says I, it's been a long time, ain't your time? Looks around and finds a nail. Grabs that nail and drives down in near the bunk. Pops her in the trigger. Get her in there and pry her out, see? Get my mouth up there and suck the monkeys, what you call it. get that beer, see? So I'd knock you, knock you, cry, cry, pop around, put my mouth up there. Take three big gulps. Thickest cod liver oil you ever had. You know how it is. I staggered back, I guess my eyes bulging out, see? So I'm popping back my throat, turns around. There's old String Bean. Seeing me stealing cargo. He knocks me down. I jumps up, pops his head down over his ear. See, he knocks me down again. Knocked out this tooth right here. See that? That's this one right there. Knocked me down. He starts stomping on me. See, stomping on my ribs. Put him down just like that. Left me there, all broke up. I stealing cargo. Good thing only weighed 120 pounds. That would have been done for. I lay there stiffening myself, to tell you the truth. Crawled back to my bunk, had any decent mates on board, they cleaned me up, took care of them. Days old drunk, what's left of them. Cried half that night long. Packed all my gear in my bag, went up forward, throwed the jib down, haul overboard, and paid myself off. Run away is what I'd done. I had enough of that old pesky. Where's a feller to go when he's halfway around the world? South Australia. Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Same thing any sailor anywhere in the world goes. A boarding house. Sailor's hotel. I knocks on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Door flies open. Well, boy, come on in. I get a big bear hug. It's like my mama gave me. Come on in, she says. Daughter, give this boy some warm food. He gets the feather bed tonight. And there I goes. Mugger Doyle is her name. An establishment is named Mugger Doyle's House of Blazes. So there I is. I set up fine. She takes my gear, locks it up for safekeeping. Don't want it stole. And I was in good shape there. I was eating three meals a day, sleeping in a feather bed. But I knowed the game. You understand, I ain't got no money, so I knows I was running up a debt from the very first. When I gets enough of a debt up, she's going to sign me off some vessel, take my first month or two wages, and send me on my way. That wouldn't take long. But I weren't ready to go to sea. After old String Bean done me. So I done it again, I lit out. Lots of folks figure sailors go from ship to ship, ain't always so. I lit out, went on the beach for a while, went to the outback, worked the sheep shearing station. That's what I done. I was a traveler, a swag man. Hard living out there, hundreds of miles between stations, ain't no water, ain't no food. He hooks up with an old timer, he teaches you the tricks. You knock on farmhouse doors and you beg for your food. Early in the season works fine. Late in the season, he knocks on the door, the fella's already fed, hungry folk. He ain't got nothing left to share, so I knocks on the front door. My old partner, he's knocking on the chicken coop back ass. See, that's the way it works. What you gonna do? 100 miles of water, ain't gonna get clean. You find yourself a big dust bowl. It takes off your clothes and you rubs them around in the dust, you rubs them around in the dust. Cleans them just like that. Then you jumps in yourself. Then you scrubs down. Works just fine. I was a swag man. Of course, I couldn't shear sheep. That's skill. It takes good skill to be a sheep shearer. Talk about strong. You hear about sailors being strong. Sheep shearer got hands like a grip of iron from hanging on them sheep and shearing all day long. Amazing. I ain't seen more powerful hands in my life. But the skin's as soft as a baby's head. It's from all that there oil in the wool, see? Soft as could be. So I done that. Got paid off, made some money. Finally become a passenger. Work on the way down rivers, like out here in Noah's country. Lots of snags, sandbars, riverboats poling along, see? Pole boats. I was sleeping on deck with my swag under my head, all my gear, all my money would get rolled up in it. Next thing I know, I sputtered and spit. Sure enough, we hit a snag and over we gone. All my gear, all my property at the bottom of the river. I'm struggling for my life. I can't swim, you understand? I struggled my way to the bank, all tore up my clothes in shreds from them snags. Nothing but the clothes that stood up in. What am I going to do? Works my way to the coast. Knocks on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Door flies open. Josiah, she says, come on in, boy. Big bear. Oh, Mother Doyle, see? Weren't no hard feelings. She knowed my situation. Took me in again. Took care of me. Of course, we picked up where I left off with my dad. I know that. About 2 weeks goes by. Seems old Mother Doyle's got a birthday. She invites me and about five of the other boys down to the cellar, and I ain't been down here before. He's talking dirt floor. Big barn, big old planks on two caps, see, with lick her up behind. And she starts throwing old Australian beer. Who's drinking that down? A couple dancing girls come in. He's dancing some jigs, having a fine time. Old Mugger Boyle breaks out the hard liquor. Says, let's drink to my health, boys. Sure enough, Mugger Doyle. Here's the health and many more. Down she goes. Next thing I hear, run out your slack. Sure enough, I was out in the middle of the harbor, Shanghai, bound around Cape Horn. Old Mugger Doyle done the whole six of us. Finds out later on she has about 20 birthdays a year. So I've been to Shanghai. Down around Cape Horn, got took care of. Looked for my gear, got my bag. Of course, it wasn't my gear at all. She's pawned out all off, just rocks and old rotten gear in there. What am I going to do? I'll get the chilblains. Old sailmaker took us under his wing. Got some cloth from the first mate, and sail cloth, and we stitched up oil skins out of old sail cloth. He'd become a good mate of mine. Give me this. This here's his sailmaker palm. He's been using this for years. He's going to swallow the anchor, he said. Go on shore, so he can give it away at the end of the passage. Old Charlie Schultz is his name. Looks on here, and I see the initials. J.P. He's right there. Charlie Schultz, J.P. Wonder who he's running from, eh? Good situation. He's running from the law, he goes to sea. If he wants to make a fortune, if he wants to leave the old lady and the children behind, men, he can go as west, or he can go as to sea. Tell him he's going to go make your fortune. You take care of him in time. And then he runs off. Probably have to change your name, but that ain't no problem. See? No telling who he's going to run into out there is what I'm saying. Heaven only knows what Charlie Schultz done in his day. But he treats me good. He keeps me good. Well, as time goes on, I become second man. And I become first man. That's a long story and a harrowing experience right there. Fire at sea. There we was in the broad South Pacific with our ship diving down, last burst of steam. We've been fighting that fire for 8 days. I got steam burns all around my wrists, all around my collar, all blistered up. Until she took the dive, so you couldn't stop her. What you going to do? He's in the middle of the sea. Three open boats. Nearest land's 1,200 miles. Of course, your files have been a big signalizer for you, see? Anybody sees smoke or flame, they come offer help. So we sits there for a day and a half waiting for a vessel to come over the horizon. And he's falling into the trough and he rises on the swell. He comes up to the top of the swell and he looks around the horizon. All the time you can see, you understand? He looks around. You don't see no sail. He starts to go down into the trough, and as you go down, your heart goes down. The lower you go in that trough of the sea, the deeper your heart goes. Till he's at the bottom of that trough and your heart's down around your toes. Then he starts to rise again, and your heart starts to come up. The higher you come, the higher your heart comes. You get to the top of that there swell, and he looks around again for a sail. But you don't see none. He goes into the trough again. Your heart sinks again. He does this for a day and a half, and your heart ain't never going to come up. And fellas laying in the bottom of the boat, they give up hope. That quick, they give up hope. Well, the old man says, we swear away from Marquesas Islands. That's what we've done. Three open boats. The old man in one, the mate in the other, and the second mate himself in the third. All the food, compasses, revolver on the lap, off we go. Trying to stay in company to protect each other. If I fall asleep, the old man can keep from making a rush for the water, you understand, with his revolver. Storm comes along, the old man's boat disappeared. Ain't never seen that boat again. 13 days later, he gets to the Marquesas. They take us around the Nuku-hiva. There's the old man and every man Jack on board. I ain't seen his boat. They landed the other side of the island, see, but every man come out of it alive. That was the wreck of the Mogul you probably read about 2 years ago. Well, after that duty I'd done, they made me first mate. I've been first mate ever since. Now, I'll tell you why I was here. I ain't used to speaking to folk like myself. I was used to standing on the break of the poop and hollering down at a bunch of lunkheads, you understand? But I was here because I was looking for something. It seems everybody's looking for something. And I was looking for the help. Looking for a sailor what run off from me. We was in the Boston Sea. We was headed out. Coming down off the Nantucket Shoal about a fortnight ago. Run into some heavy weather. Of course, them shoals out there is near as bad as Georgia. So we was plowing our head down, seeing, right? and slow. Climb on down and rise and slow. And it's midnight. Eight bells, light comes on the deck. The old man turns the watch over. He says, Mr. Gardner, he says, keep your eye out the window there. It looks like dirty. If it blows on too much, then shorten down. Meaning shorten sail. Ease her up. I say, shorten down. If I see fit. He says, yes, sir. Down he goes.
Hour and a half goes by. The old man comes back on deck. Of course, it's blowing up a bit now, seeing that gale of wind's coming down on us. The old man comes up on deck. He looks off to that gale, looks up them sails, says, blowing up a mite, Mr. Gardner. I looks him right in the eye. I says, shorten down if I see fit, sir. Shoot, I ain't gonna have him coming up on my watch on deck. Second guessing me, I ain't no seafarer, I ain't no seaman. Shoot. I looks him right in the eye. See, he looks right back at me. Turns on his heel and he goes below.
Now, problem was, of course, that was all set to shorten down. What am I going to do now? Can't do it when he's just been on deck. So I hangs on another half hour. See, we plow our head down, rising. Plows our head down. Bam! Cane stop. Ain't no counting at all. It's a Fort Thomas. Come a crashing down by the board. All hands on deck, I holler. Of course, the old man, he's up like lightning. I runs forward. Got work to do, see? He comes on deck and forward I go. We plows our head down again. We rise slow. Down a second time. Rises, bam, another cannon shot. It's the jib-boom come crashing by the board. Now, there ain't no gear up forward. All them sails, all them yards and mast stays all smashed on deck. We're in the open sea, which means you can't steer. Three men back in the wheel, and they fight with that wheel. When you can't steer, you fall into the trough again, see? And then them seas start boarding you, knocking you down and knocking you down. So he's on your beams in, your lee rail right into the water. Few more times, he's going to turn turtle, hanging on for your life. Make matters worse, we've got one sail set. The main t'gallant, 80 foot up, in a living gale. And that's what's holding us down. If we can get that sail off, or she'll ease up, see, you might be all right. I springs into the rigging. I don't do this much no more. Life or death situation, I springs into the rigging. I says, we got to furl the gallant. I looks down from the rail. There's one of them fellas on deck. And he's staring at me. There's eyes, dark as could be, dark as pitch. But their eyes is bugged out like that, so they's looking at him. Some of them starts fooling with some lines, they's busy, see? They's fooling fine. Says, we gotta furl down! One fella jumps up with me. 6'3", red hair. Big mountain of a man. A Finn, see? A Russian Finn. Jerry calls, I don't know his name. He and I works our way up the river. We spike up through that gale, press straight into that rim rattling, see, tearing you up. Losing all my clothes in half. I'm flipping way over up that there yard. You get on the yard, and there's foot ropes under, and everything's a bucket and a wing. So you put your feet down the foot ropes, you work your way out. And that there sails up in front of you like it's like a balloon. Hard as a sheet of iron, and you makes your fist, and you pounds the wind out. It pounds the wind out. You grab a handful, get tucker under your belly. You pounds the wind out, tucking under your belly. Meanwhile, everything's a bucket and a weaving. Especially because the foremast is going to read nothing holding the mainmast up no more. She's a whipping 20 foot in both directions, fore and aft. Could come down in any moment. We's hanging on. You pounds the wind up, tight. And then you get a puff of breeze in there, and she shoots out, and you lose everything you have. Hits you in the chest, and you hangs on. Starts again, you pound, and you pound. Tucks her in. Hard living. 20 minutes we fighting. Every handful we get, we lose. Ain't nobody else coming to help us. What are we going to do? We's on our beams in, ready to capsize. Then I feel my foot rope go slack. My heart jumps to my throat. I know what that means. The old Jerry, he's on the same rope I'm on. I know he's been slatted off, down into the breeze of wind, into the gale. I look down, I don't see nobody tumbling. I know that when you hear him scream, his voice went off the lure. Nobody hear him. I squints up through the rain, and there's old Jerry, standing on the yard, hanging on to the chain tie. I can't believe my eyes. He jumps into the sail. I got that there, came, shoots up around like this. He's bouncing up and down like that, out of control, hanging on one hand. He starts stomping again, see? You know, the only way to shorten her down is to stomp that there gale right out. He's stomping and kicking, jumping up and down like that. I see what he's doing. I moves in toward him. He's stomping, working toward me. I grab his handful of cannons, throws it down, throwing gaskets around. Shortening that. The more I shorten, the less I hold him up, see? He knows it. Nothing between him and David Jones with thin air and cannons. He hangs on with one hand, pulls himself back. We shortened down and saved the ship, and that's the truth. was into the Palmer yard here for repairs. That's why he's in town. What happened this morning? Of course, now he's in for repairs. He's working farmer's hours, soldier's hours. Easy living. Sunrise to sunset, he might be in the city. I call all hands on deck this morning. They all comes out on the double quick, except old Jerry. He run off. And that's why he's in town. That's looking for him. And I'm offering a reward, half a month's wages. 6'3", red hair, big bushy red beard. If you see him, look for old Joe's eye partner and let me know. I'm going to lock him up in irons, take him back to ship if he belongs to me. Pay half a month's wages. $12.50. So think on that sometime. I want to thank you all for listening because I was going to be on my way. But keep your eye out for that thing. Thank you all very much.